conscience, take me there with all your goods. And
today we kick off our weekly hour of free music here on Spark with our latest upload to our free music archive collection. It's Vida and the Wolf with Asher from their album Fang Song. Every Friday I upload a new record there on a feature that I like to call Free Music Friday. Of course, then you can download those for free, much like everything else I play on the show. To find out more about these downloads, to catch up on previous shows, and to discover an endless amount of great free music, you just have to go to White Market's website, whitemarketpodcast.co.uk. Today we have yet another special show ahead. A couple of weeks ago, I had the great opportunity of interviewing Block Sonic's creator, Michael Gregoire. The label started almost as a curatory service, releasing NetBlocks, which are kind of like the Now compilation of NetAudio, but currently operates as a proper digital label, releasing mostly original material. Just a small note, at the time of the interview, the latest issue of the NetBlocks series was not available, but it is now. If you want to find out how Creative Commons and Public Enemy are connected, just stay tuned. First, today we have Michael Gregoire, who's Block Sonic CEO, founder, one-man show.
Yeah, pretty much.
So tell us a bit more about you and what you do at Block Sonic.
Yeah, so let's see. Back in 2006, I first discovered this whole phenomenon called the digital labels that release their music strictly online, generally under a Creative Commons license. It intrigued me. I've always loved the music, but one thing I found in discovering this was that there's a lot of music out there, and it's very hard to find the good stuff, or at least what I think is the good stuff. And so I was looking around for somebody, you know, some tastemakers out there to help me find some of the better stuff out there. And at the time, there weren't really any blogs or anything, or podcasts or anything of that sort, promoting very, you know, their, you know, favorite stuff. So that got me thinking, then if I need that, if I need some tastemakers out there to find some good music, then other people do too. So that led me to coming up with the NetBlock series. And in January of 2007, I launched that series, which is a 10 to 14 track compilation of tracks that I feel represents the net label world really well. And, you know, I go through and I contact each artist and get permission from them so I can release it in a lossless format. And so I release everything in a lossless format with complete album art, an extensive PDF liner notebook. And I've been doing that since 2007. I'm currently preparing volume 48 for release this Friday.
Ooh.
Yeah, exciting.
That is very exciting.
And after 2007 and in 2009, started releasing original music. The first release was by an artist named out of Richmond, Virginia, named Just Plain Ant. And then since then, it's history. I mean, we've been releasing music steadily since then, and we're going strong.
I must say Bloxonic is one of my favorite net labels. And I first got to know it because of NetBlox. Because when I started my podcast in 2008, it was indeed very hard to find a curated service of Creative Commons music. There was a lot of Creative Commons music, but it was all kind of a mess. And either you knew the net labels straight away, or you were just lost in this vortex of nothingness. And there's a lot of noise and experimental music, which is great. But for instance, my podcast goes on air on different radio stations, and I have to be aware of the editorial guidelines. And like, I would stretch the bar a bit every now and then, but I couldn't do it all the time. So the NetBlocks really saved my life for a while, because they would give me the links to get to know more and more net labels. And then after a while, then I just had this massive database of net labels that I knew that I could trust, sort of.
Right. Yeah. And that was the hope. You know, when I started, I was hoping that it would inspire other people to, or help other people to do exactly what you're doing and help spread the word. Unfortunately, net labels seem to be, there's a lot of new ones cropping up that I'm not as aware of. But there's also a lot of my favorites that have just gone silent, and it's sad to me. But it seems like a lot of artists are going direct now with Bandcamp and other various services. So labels may not be as needed as they once were, but I still believe in a label. I think that, you know, some artists would just prefer to have someone else handle the promotion and all that kind of stuff and just make the music. So there's a place for labels, I think.
It's like a community service, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, it gives fans, you know, a place to go to find music that they can depend on. And it gives artists, you know, a way to promote it in an audience, you know. So it's definitely useful, I think.
So how did you go from compiling that audio and providing like a curation service? How do you go from that to releasing original stuff, releasing your own things?
Right. Well, I think for me, I was already thinking about it back in 2008. It crossed my mind. I was tempted because, you know, here you are releasing this music. Why not release your own music at the same time? You know, essentially I was doing that. I was just releasing a compilation series. So the work, you know, is about the same. And then in late 2008, Just Plain Ant approached me, and I had already been thinking about it. So I was like, yeah, let's do this. Let's release it. I had included Just Plain Ant on an early NetBlock release prior to 2009. So that's how he knew to reach out to me. So it seemed like a natural progression.
Well, now you have an endless amount of series. You've got the Max blocks, you've got the originals, the 45s, the extended editions, the improv blocks. How do you have time for everything? How do you manage?
It somehow works. I've got a day job too, that pays the bills. But somehow I'm able to balance all my time, and I've got a wife too, so I've got to be social in that way too, you know. So, but somehow I'm just able to balance it all. When I have lulls in one thing, I'm working on another thing. I'm always busy. There's no question about that, but I'm able to manage it and juggle everything.
You have all these different series going on, because most net labels, they just release things and they just label it number one, number two, number three, and then they have like a giant catalog of like 300 editions and whatnot. You have them separated by logical series. How did you think that was a good option for you?
I think it made sense to me. Let's see. I originally started with the original albums in 2009, and I think by 2010 was my first release that I wanted to do singles. And in the 80s, you know, I'm an 80s kid, and growing up, I used to love 12-inch singles. I always loved having remixes from the singles and stuff. That was just so awesome. You have, you know, get the album, but then you have the 12-inch single. It has all these cool remixes that nobody else knows, or only real fans know about. And so I wanted that kind of experience for Block Sonic. So I decided to branch out into our Max Block series, which is our 12-inch or EP equivalent. And of course, once I did that, eventually the 45 came to mind, and it just kind of made sense to split them up into a series, so it would be easier to kind of browse them on the site as that particular type of, you know, who knows, maybe certain fans prefer the 45 or the Max Block series, you know. And so that kind of led to other series, and I've got a couple other series cooking, hopefully released in the next year or so. One, I don't want to say too much, but I'll say that it's going to be very remix friendly. It's basically the goal of it. There's actually a couple, I think, that are actually very remix friendly. And the goal of it is giving back to the Creative Commons community, providing more resource material for musicians and creators to make their own creations.
Well, you release mainly hip hop, but not only hip hop. There are loads of things in the Block Sonic catalog. Is that like your favorite music genre, or it just happened, or is it's just an organic thing that's how things ended?
I've always been a hip hop head, so that's probably my first love. I was a metal head too when I was young. I have these seasonal changes. Like in the summer, it's hip hop, it's dance, it's kind of it's beat oriented. And in the winter, I was in my room working on my projects or whatever, and so I'd be hunkered down listening to metal or something like that. But I've always also listened to other stuff, you know, pop music and whatnot. I've always had kind of an eclectic taste, so I didn't want Block Sonic to be a quote hip hop label. I wanted it to be expand and be a little bit more eclectic. It has worked out that it's primarily hip hop that I'm releasing, and that's only because I've connected with some great artists. But you know, I definitely try to go for other genres where I can, where the artists approach me and, you know, they make sense for the label. The goal is always about quality, though. I definitely try to go for and not so much experimentation. However, I'm trying to branch into it a little bit. So we'll see what happens the next year. I think I have a couple of other ideas too. The next track is Nick Bomarito's A Pace from the album A Quiet Age. That was released in March 2015. His music, it's a calming effect. It's got a little beats in there. It's hard to explain his music, but it's down tempo. It's just incredible. I've been a fan of his since he was on 12 Rec, which is a net label that's kind of gone quiet over the years. And I was so happy to have him approach me about releasing music.
One of the things that I really like about Bloxonic is that you guys, you're pretty much everywhere. Like before, when I asked you how do you have time for everything, a lot of net labels, for them, a release is just a zip file with a bunch of songs. Sometimes they don't even have tags or anything. And with Bloxonic, you can clearly tell that there is a lot of effort and a lot of time and thought put into it. Because as you said, it's the lossless files, it's the artwork, it's the PDF, it's having everything really neatly arranged on the website, it's all the social media work that you do on the background. I have lots of projects and a bit like you, I'm always busy. And sometimes I get a bit overwhelmed with everything. Does that never happen to you?
I've learned that when you have those moments, because sometimes things begin to stack up and you're like, oh my God, I got to get this done. You just got to step back, give yourself a list and just take it one item at a time. And it kind of works. It just works out. And I right now I have stuff stacking up, but you know, you can't let it overwhelm you. That's when things fall apart and then you're not able to keep up with it. So yeah, just keep yourself a list or something and you're good to go.
So now when you release new stuff, do the artists mainly go try and reach you, or is it the other way around? You like their work and then you get in touch. How does it work?
Yeah, mostly it's been people reaching out to Bloxonic. I've been lucky that way. Although I just had an email with C-Doc a little while ago, and he saw that we hadn't had many releases in the past month. And that's strange for us. Usually we've got, you know, 3 or 4 at least every month.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, what's going on? Is everything all right? And I'm like, yeah, no, everything's fine. But we have had a lull. And I found that, you know, artists get busy and not everybody's bringing you music all the time. And sometimes there are those moments where you have to go out and reach out to the artists. So we're having a little moment here where everybody's working on stuff, but nobody's ready to release anything. So I'm actually finding myself having to start looking and seeing if there's anybody out there who's interested in releasing something in the next couple months. If anybody's listening right now, it's a perfect time to reach out to Bloxonic. We got some open slots and we'd love to hear what you got.
If I was an artist, I would say, yes, take my music now. But no, I don't do music. I love music. I think it's part of my essence, but not a music maker. I just spread the word on it.
Well, that's good. That's good.
And how long does it take for you to release something from the point you decide, right, I'm going to release a net block or I'm going to release this new original stuff? How long does it take until it's out?
As you know, everything is tightly scheduled and I release everything on, you know, like Tuesdays or Fridays are pretty much my release days. And so I have to plan at least a release date. And from that moment, it can be nothing ready yet, but I'll have a release date scheduled with the artist so they can shoot for. I'll have a delivery date for them. So usually it comes out to maybe between a week and 4 days before the release. I'll be working on it. I'll have everything given to me by the artist and I'll be working on the art and liner notes and all that stuff and getting it ready for release on the release date. For NetBlocks, though, those take a long time. That's partly the reason why I haven't been able to release one in the past few months. I was trying to get the new Bloxonic website up and running, which took a lot of effort. And once that was done, I just was like, oh, I'm wiped. Actually, I had scheduled one for July, and I had to keep on rescheduling. A combination of not a lot of wanting to put the effort into it yet because I was really wiped out, but also artists not getting back to me in a quick enough time, and the momentum was kind of lost. So I decided to push it until this Friday and reach out to a couple extra artists and stuff. And anyways, it usually takes between a month and 2 months to put together a net block, only because of the communication aspect with artists. Not everybody gets back to you right away. So you end up communicating back and forth for a good 2 weeks to a month before you get everything ready from the artists, you know, assets, photos, music, all that stuff. Once I have all the assets in place, then I can take maybe 3-4 days to put it together.
That's amazing. I find it amazing because I know how hard it is to scavenge through free music, through Creative Commons stuff and labels. And yeah, sometimes artists are not very responsive. Sometimes you have to rearrange your plans. Sometimes you will clash with ideology stuff. Like the other day, I sent an email to another net label saying, "Oh, can I talk to you? It would be really great. Can we do some Skype calls?" Like, "Oh, we don't have Skype." Well, now I have to find a different way of talking to them.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of crazy. Sometimes you have those moments you're like, okay, you want to promote your stuff, but you don't want to put any effort into it. Okay, unfortunately, that's how it is.
Are you a designer?
Yes, I'm a graphic designer. That's my trade. I work for a company in Maine where I design websites, public-facing websites for a lot of state agencies through my company. And then I also have my freelance job where I design albums. I design websites. I've designed albums for Public Enemy.
Yes, that's huge. We've been in touch through social media for a few years now, so there are things about each other's lives that we know, and that was something that always got me curious. So you design album art for huge, huge name, Public Enemy, and then you get some of their members to release stuff with you. And it's amazing because, well, you go from the mainstream music industry into something that is so much wider, linked to ideologies. And how does that happen?
Well, first of all, I kind of hooked up with Chuck D designing album art for them in an offhand way. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Public Enemy that not that much, but they had a forum called the Enemy Board, which Chuck D would post on it, and it was the official forum for Public Enemy in the early 2000s. And he reached out to fans saying, I'm starting this label Slam Jams, and I'd like fans help doing stuff. Would you like to volunteer promoting it or whatever? And I volunteered. I'm like, hey, Chuck, I'd love to design art for this label. Originally, he's like, sure. And it was just for like online releases, singles and what have you. And I did a few of those, and Chuck liked what I did. And so he offered me the opportunity to design their album, and that was getting released in 2002 called Revolverlution. So that was my first album for them. And then since then, I've designed various albums for them. And then the whole connection with Block Sonic happened because, okay, all the while that I'm designing stuff for Public Enemy and stuff, I'm also doing Block Sonic. But those two worlds were not communicating together in any way. I was doing my Block Sonic thing, and I was doing my Slam Jams thing completely separately and not promoting it, cross-promoting it in any way. Chuck had no idea that I was doing this stuff. But C-Doc, who ended up producing a few things for Public Enemy, and he also directs their videos. He's a director, producer, actor. He's a very talented guy. Anyways, he reached out to me and saw that what I was doing with Block Sonic. And he was like, how can I be down with this? He goes, I'd love to release music with Block Sonic. Tell me more about it, and how can I help out? And so from that moment on, that Public Enemy connection happened. And then Chuck became aware of it, and we released Impossible's music with Chuck D featured on it. And Chuck has also done a cameo on a Just Plain Ant release. We've also had DMC of Run DMC appear on the Impossibles, the same Impossibles album that was recently released. I don't know. We've been lucky making these connections, and it's been a blast. So let's see. We've got, oh yeah, Cheese and Potsy, Old School, My School. That is from the album Blue Bins, released in 2015. That features other Block Sonic artists. It's kind of a posse cut with CM, aka Creative, also a Block Sonic artist, C-Doc, and then a Cat Wahama, which is Cheese and Potsy's mother. She sings on this. And then 34 Pro, a talented producer who collaborates with Cheese and Potsy pretty regularly.
Bring it home. We're still rolling these joints like Joe in the pot room. Plot to jot the hot to make the spot boom and drop tunes in a cheese tight manner. Bet to keep the set more packed than Dantana. Planning for my days filled with kicks and snares. Pads and pens to flip my bits to share. blitz and flare, that never been the agenda. It's the lab till the AM, putting beats on render. The zone, my first love and second home. Hip hop in my life like stepping stones. Laying down the bridge like Paul and Art. Tone's been in the bone since my call to start. Things fall apart, come and go and just vanish. So in the living years, like Mike and the Mechanics, no Hammond's disease, I've been to keeping the cheese and keep getting loose over breaks like these. Come on. Classic material give you more visuals, stimulate your mind and set the bar vertical. Cats still be saying, damn dude, I never heard of you, so it's back to the lab, still got more work to do. Expand my reach over breaks and beats, hit the stage and release those bars to greet new fans, old fans, and the no-nines. Ask if I got around, my answer be a whole lot, whole lot. Now listen as I let my skill glisten, that means shine. In the meantime, here rewind, jump on tracks with my fam, is my missus, so y'all can enjoy your me rhyme to bless your mind. But that all takes time, so we all grind. Make sure you get yours, cause I'ma get mine. About to charge you by the minute like a hotline. Old model, keep it moving, F a stop sign. It's a line. No, I've never ever met them. They're my partners in crime. Scratch that, they're my partners in rhyme. And you never leave a man behind when you climb to prime time. Combine like the Avengers to further the art. I could be Tony Stark without the billionaire part. Of course, I'm probably not that smart, but if they give me the mic, I'm gonna own it till I rip it apart. My benchmark is a session which teaches me a lesson. It's everything I do to be a lyrical professionalist. My etiquette is eloquent, even if you question it. Pessimist, dissing this, the elemental specialist is excellent. Whether you like it or not, we got this undying love for the music of hip hop. So we rock over beats in your favorite spot. Real talk when I'm taking my shots. So what you got?
Yeah, drama, something I can do without no doubt. We all gotta bounce my thoughts and focus on the next level, the next stage word spoken. Integrate spirit in your action. Few chosen with the passion that can never be broken. Love is the will that perpetuates compassion. Cause life's too short to let it drift by. So we aim it with precision and we aim high. It's the quintessence. Awaken consciousness, see through the lies. Beyond the disguise, to lighten up the skies and open up the minds of the human common sense. Bringing it back to the essence. Believing we can achieve greatness with determination and perseverance. Hip hop equals spirit, we gotta keep it sacred. I'd like to say peace to GC Dog, CMAKA Creator.
Someone asked me, can you give me an example of a good net label, and I always think Block Sonic. It's the effort, it's the type of music, it's a safe place to go if you want good music. It really is, even if you're not very much into hip-hop. I guess even if you don't like the music that's being released, you can see there's quality in it and there's effort put into it, and the website is always updated. I often struggle with finding information about whatever I'm listening to, like a Creative Commons release. Not many people make the effort to have information about who they are. Well, sometimes, like, just the name is not enough. It would be nice to know where you come from or what you do or how you ended up doing that. On Bloxonic, you always find the information you need. You can pick the various formats you might want. There is so much effort put into it. That is definitely, it's definitely one of my safe harbors for free music.
That's good to hear. From the start, when I started it, you know, even in the whole conception of the NetBlox series, that was something that was a pet peeve of mine that I saw a lot of labels were doing. They weren't tagging stuff. It was just a messy handling of their releases. I wanted Bloxonic to set an example, not just to net labels, but to any label who, you know, even if it's mainstream or independent or whatever, an example for how music should be released digitally. I mean, I think it isn't just net labels that kind of let the details fall by the wayside. You know, a lot of independent labels, when they're released digitally, they just zip it up and they throw it out there. And sometimes you'll have MP3s of different bit rates in the zip file, and it's just a mess, and it's embarrassing. And, you know, I want to set an example, and hopefully, you know, other labels will pick up on that. And I think I've noticed a lot of net labels picking up on that. I think there are a lot more FLAC releases, first of all, which I'm very happy about. But I think there are definitely labels out there that have gone out of their way a little bit to do a little bit more in that regard.
For the future, what can we expect from Bloxonic?
We get the NetBlox coming up this Friday. New release series. We're trying to give back to the community with remix-oriented releases. Not giving too many details away on that yet. And we're also going to be, hopefully by next year, I was hoping this year it would happen, but you know, there's some details to work out. But we're going to get into physical distribution, more wider digital distribution through, you know, iTunes and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, and then also we're going to do a hybrid release format, which is going to be basically an artist will release two albums simultaneously. They're going to be tied together thematically, whether it's just through the title or what. But one is going to be free and one's going to be sold. So obviously the free is to promote the commercial release. And they'll both be released under a Creative Commons license. We're going a little commercial on some level in the coming year, but we're not giving up on Creative Commons like so many other net labels I've seen do. You know, they go commercial and suddenly they ditch Creative Commons. Our goal is to straddle that line and find a way for our artists to earn some income while also support the Creative Commons world by giving away free music as well.
That is great. Some net labels become progressively more commercial and then eventually they drop the Creative Commons licenses, which is a shame. But then, for instance, on Bandcamp, I find it very often Creative Commons releases that you have to pay for them. So basically, like, you still allow people to share it if they purchase it, but they're getting some income, which I think is fair enough. It's a bit like a super underground artist that becomes a huge star and then forgets all about its roots and origins and whatnot, which is, it's sad to see, but I'm glad that you'll stick with the Creative Commons licenses.
The audience who built Bloxonic, you know, I mean, we got listeners. Why would you get rid of your audience? You know, I mean, I just don't understand. If you're a net label and you release music under a Creative Commons license, you've got an audience who expects a certain freedom to do what they will with your music and share your music. And they kind of have certain expectations. The minute you do that and you ditch the Creative Commons thing and you start going to commercial, fine. It's wonderful that you're going commercial and you're making money. That's great. But you're automatically getting rid of some of your audience, you know, and you're having to rebuild. And that, to me, that makes very little sense.
How can people find Bloxonic? Where are you?
Yep, so you go to blocksonic.com, blocksonic without a K. But besides that, we're on Instagram/blocksonic. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We are technically on SoundCloud, but we've moved to hearthis.at, I believe it's .at, I believe, which is, in my opinion, the superior. It's very similar to SoundCloud, but it's more affordable for the premium accounts, and I think it's growing, and I think now that SoundCloud is moving towards charging listeners as well, it's time to, I think there'll be more people looking for alternatives. Let's see, and then the final track is Pimp Strut Local Number 13, which is a funky artist of unknown origin. He's mysterious. We don't know much about him. It's Armand Hammer, who he goes by. The track is The Life and Death of the Party from the album Music for Film, Not Porn, released in July of 2015. The album is just a great funky record. It's got some elements of 80s pop, electro pop in it, but there's this funky-oriented vibe about it, and it's not completely serious. It's a little tongue-in-cheek, but really fun, addictive music.
Oh, I'm on the case. I can't find the truth, I can't find the lies, I just know that somebody is about to die.